Hey, everybody. Sorry for the...
I love technology.
I
want to
apologize
so
for the delays. I have been having issues, and then we were just swapping back and forth. But we're here live on Locked On Cavs. I'm Chris Manning. He's Evan Damrell. We're a little bit running late tonight, but we're going to go here for close to an hour talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers. This, of course, is your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Evan, we're about 2 weeks away from Media Day. Gotta tell you, when we got the email from the fine folks at Cavs PR, I had an immediate like shiver down my spine that it was the same day as Phoebe Bridgers, and I was gonna just be like, "Well, guess I'm going to Phoebe Bridgers and not and skipping Media Day." Just kidding, I wouldn't do that, but the shivers went.
I have to go because it's my job, but yeah, that gave me the shivers for a sec. It'd be nice for us all to go. There's gonna be restrictions because of COVID, but see some people we haven't seen in a while. Get some face to face interaction. Chris and I might square up at CCC. We'll see what happens.
There's a nice little coffee shop around there that we can go meet up at before. There's a locally owned one that we can go to. You little son of a gun, but. We're going to dive into a bunch of stuff today. We're going to take your questions. So if you have them, drop them in the chat. We'll get to them later in the show. I think this one might be a little heavier question late in one. But I want to just tell you real quick that today's episode and this whole stream is brought to you by Thursdays on Locked On NBA. That's where Jackson Gatlin and Matt Moore are telling you whose NBA stock is up and whose is down. Follow the Locked On NBA podcast today on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Evan, I've got a bunch of pre-prepared things I will lean on, help us use and pull out of my hat as a little trick as we go on.
Do you have a Jay Crawford going? You got a grease board for me.
Just rant for an hour.
Just wheel it in and talk about NFTs and Ethereum for the next hour.
I will not do that. I will not talk about like Pokemon statues for the next hour. I will not be doing that. But...
Hey, bro, you know what?
No, I might. Leave that Pokemon open world that. Oh, that's. I'm talking. That was a specific joke that was building on top of your specific joke.
Oh, I know. It's a very niche joke, yeah. For sure. But as a Pokestan, and, you know, I've already been told by some I need an intervention for some of my tattoos.
Wow.
As somebody who considered a Pokemon tattoo, I won't tolerate that.
Gotta say, that open world game looks pretty great. But,
Oh, Legends of Arceus looks amazing. It's probably technically going to be a mess because just it doesn't look promising. But them going for Breath of the Wild vibes is a pretty fresh new take that I dig it.
We'll talk about that next off season when we've had some time to play. There's, you know, the Cavs season has ended. But Evan, I've got some stuff prepared that we can get to. You know, people drop your questions. We'll check them out in the chat as we go on. But I want to start with just. We already got a question about Dylan Windler, which is salute to you, Patrick Self. We'll get to that. But
Patrick himself asked it.
I want to start with a comparison of two players, one on the Cavs, one not, who are in sort of purgatory in a lot of ways. Former All-Star caliber players who have had some unfortunate injury luck. And that's Kevin Love and John Wall. It was reported earlier this week that John Wall is going to not play any games for Houston. He is going to basically take a step back. They're going to try to find a home for him. They said no buyout, which is just like very funny because like I don't know how he's getting moved unless there is a buyout, right? Like that just seems sort of whatever. We'll see where that ultimately goes. But I want to just ask you, the way the John Wall thing kind of came out, it was sort of more similar to Al Horford. It hasn't been messy. The team sort of handled it, and I'd say John seemingly handled it in a way where it's like, okay, like we know this guy. You just go back and look at his injury issue, obviously the Achilles, but like, you know, he fell down some stairs, had a lot of really scary stuff happen towards the end of his time in D.C. It's more like, hey, you know, we understand this isn't great for everyone. You want something, you want different than what we want. We're in different timelines here. We're going to try and just like make this go as copacetically as possible. I just want to say, like, do you feel like the way that Houston has handled that versus the way the Kevin Love thing has happened in Cleveland, do you feel like those two things are as different as I tend to think that they've been handled very differently, and that they're sort of the way we're talking about them ends up being very different on the result. And maybe that's not necessarily totally fair, but I guess, like, how do you compare these situations?
To answer your question, I want to say yes and no, because in the John Wall situation, he was traded to Houston. Granted, that was part of the Russell Westbrook trade. In the Kevin Love scenario, the Cavs signed Kevin Love and are unable to move him. Both teams are in weird situations to begin with, situations they probably shouldn't be in to begin with, but the Rockets kind of, you know, paid the price to try and build around James Harden, and it just clearly didn't work. But I think, yeah, the way it's being handled is certainly odd, to say the least. I think the way the Rockets are approaching this is the right way to go about things. I think them saying, listen, John, you're clearly not in our team's future plans. You want to play for a contender. I know people are saying that he's going to end up on the Clippers somehow, some way. I think a buyout is going to be inevitable unless, like, a team finds a trade to happen. I'm going to pose something to you in a second with this, actually. But, yeah, I think if the Cavs just outright said, hey, Kevin Love, I mean, it's the team hasn't said it, but it's been said without saying it by those like Jason Lloyd or myself or Chris Fedor or you. Like, there's plenty of folks out there who have said, like, Kevin Love is no longer in the Cavs' future terms.
Kevin Love himself has been like, I don't fit here, basically. He's basically said that.
Yeah. He finally told LeBron, I fit out, I don't fit in. And when they drafted Evan Mobley, it became clear. When they signed Lauri Markkanen to a massive extension, that became even more clear. It's just, I don't know. It would be so easy for the Cavs to use, like, Woj, because the organization has a really good relationship with Adrian Wojnarowski, and especially with Kevin's agent as well, where they just say, like, listen, Kevin Love, for the time being, is a Cleveland Cavalier. He is welcome to practice and work out with the team, but he will not be playing with us because he is not a part of our long-term future and plans. That is such an easy thing to say, and I just don't know why the Cavs are saying it. And it's just a weird difference between how both teams are run internally, I think. And I don't think Houston's the most stable organization either, but the Rockets have a clear plan that they're going to build around KPJ and Jalen Green, because KPJ said he's a point guard, and the Cavs are saying, okay, we're building around Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, Lauri Markkanen. Kevin, you don't really fit into this anymore. We hoped you could be our Chris Paul and lead these young players and we could rehabilitate your trade value. That didn't work. So I think it's just best for all parties involved so you can not compromise your basketball future, because again, he has an Achilles issue and a calf issue, and those go hand in hand with one another, so it's kind of like a ticking time bomb. So you want to have allow him to properly stay in game shape, but at the same time, you don't want to risk him injuring himself to, one, jeopardize his basketball future, and two, prevent the Cavs completely from trading him.
I just don't see, like, a world where, like, any of these guys, like, it's very interesting to, like, watch how this plays out in, like, other sports comparatively. Like, the NFL doesn't have, like, a lot of the guaranteed money where, like, if something happens with, like, this is, like, ultimately kind of...
Well, that one Broncos player ruptured his Achilles in a non-practice, like, he wasn't at a facility, so...
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's not, like, the guarantee of the contract. Like, MLB, it's sort of, like, you get all the guaranteed money, but, like, you can kind of age a little more gracefully a lot of times on sport. Like, you can... like, find a role that fits you, even if you're getting a little bit older and whatever. Like, in your favorite sport, soccer, like, a lot of the times, like, if you have a really, like, if you have a player making, like, a lot of money, like, they, and, like, but they're, like, not really fitting your team's plans, but they want to keep their wages, like, there's, like, teams in, like, Qatar and China, and, like, MLS has been this at times, where, like, you can just move them there, get them off of your books, and they get to go, like, play like a couple more years of their career and like still make the money they want to for a short amount of time, like, or like that there's not really a way for that to happen in the NBA. Like, there's not like a really clean mechanism for some of this. And some of that is like roster size. Some of that is like the function of a salary cap. And I think the rising number of contracts that have been given out. I think, you know, I wonder if there's a point where like we do see maybe teams like Cleveland in particular that are smaller markets and stuff like me. I wonder if like in a couple, like if they should, and I think they should probably start doing this, be a little more hesitant to offer some of these more lucrative contracts to guys that like you do have concerns about. Like there's guys that I think you break the mold for. Like I think Lowry would have been one if you have that kind of relationship with the guy, like, and you believe he can really help you. Like I think there are, Chris Paul is another one. I think you just do it. But like, I think if you want to be cautious, like I can't really blame an organization for doing that as much as I think players ultimately should get the bag. And it's not their job to worry about like what the Cavs cap sheet is like in 5 years. But there's like just not these mechanisms for some of this. I think that makes a lot of these situations really uncomfortable. I think I also just think like I tend to think that the Cavs just ultimately are not necessarily the best at like handling some of the Cavs, like when adversity has hit them. And like things have happened with the team historically. I don't think this has ever been an organization that like handles things cleanly. And I think that makes them easy at times to just kind of be like, to kind of smack them around a little bit, right? Like I think like they've never been a team that is particularly just like normal. Like the way Houston and Oklahoma City, like they've handled this, like has been pretty normal, right? Like they and obviously those are a little bit different because of the trades. And I think that's a smart point, but like, there's just got to be like a clean way to handle some of this stuff. And I think like the wall thing is just like, I find the leaking of like, oh, he's, you know, he's been a great guy in locker room and like he hasn't complained once. Like I find these like leaks like very over the top because you're just trying to like, the spin is in effect there. But it's just one of those, and not saying it's not true. It's just like there's a clear purpose of why you leak that at the same time as stuff. It's like these situations are just particularly like uncomfortable in the NBA. And the Cavs just happen to have one right now that's like, I mean, it just has a direct impact on the team right now. And I hate talking about it all the time, but it's like, ugh, you know, it's just sort of like the burden of like what I think the team is kind of building with right now.
You know what else is a burden, Chris? Having too many streaming apps to manage and too many streaming devices. And you know what can help us out? Our friends and our today's sponsor, DirecTV. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before so that you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there is no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV. Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
So what do you think about that as far as me talking about how these things are kind of always seemingly very uncomfortable?
Oh, it's super uncomfortable, man. Like, it's been clear for a while Kevin Love doesn't want to be here. I think it became clear when he came back from the injury after he signed that mammoth extension. Like, he regrets it. Like, he all but didn't Eric Bledsoe tweet, I don't want to be here, and then say he was at the salon with Kate. So, it's an uncomfortable situation overall. I don't know a tenable path forward for the Cavs other than just them outright saying, okay, Kevin Love is still a Cleveland Cavalier going forward, but he will not be playing for the team because it's just beneficial for both parties involved that he doesn't play, but he's allowed to be present to work out and be a part of practice, but we're just kind of shelving him until we can find a new trade destination for him. And ideally, it's still going to be a buyout. I think it's going to go towards a buyout, but we will not see that till after the trade deadline at this point.
I kind of want to leave it there because I just like don't know what else to say about this. Like I think like if we're looking at media day, like,
oh bro, it's gonna be so weird. It's like
media day is gonna be like weird because of like the reality.
I think
of
about
it.
This one. I think about the Sixers media day too. Like Ben Simmons could show up and cause a huge stink. Like I would, as a man who loves drama, as someone who consumes trash TV and partakes in 90 Day Fiance in my 600-pound life, I would love this trash TV drama coming from Ben Simmons in Philly. But to your point, go ahead.
Media Day just is going to be, it's going to be weird because of like obviously it's not going to be exactly the same. Like, I don't know. I like, because we have, I think rightly, like masks and things like that. Like, it's just, yeah.
It's a hot take.
It's going to be one of those like weird things where it's just like, you can't, like, I don't think it's going to be as like much moving around. Like, there's just like a lot of stuff where it's like,
well, the Cavs kind of laid out the parameters. We don't want to go too much into it, but they more or less said, like, listen, we have a select amount of media that can come to meet in-person media day. The rest of you will be on Zoom. And then they have to space people out accordingly. And I think, like, they, I don't know if they'll do, like, the Cavs kids stuff like they usually do during media day.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not going to be, like, it's usually kind of like a circus and, like, a little bit awkward at that. And, like there's just, like, these moments where I'm like, why is it, it's just very weird, like, the first time seeing, like, Derrick Rose, like, on like the dais, you know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those things where it's just like very bizarre. Like, there's just, it's just media, it's going to be a little bit different. And the Kevin thing of it is just like,
how political do you think Kevin will
but
be?
But that's the thing. I don't know.
Oh, he will be. Well, he will be.
Yeah, and I just think, I think a lot about like how the fact that like the way that the team decided to like address a lot of this last year, and then I don't want to talk about this anymore, is like, hey, we're going to let him just like vent for like 10 minutes on Zoom. And we're not going to, like, engage with your actual questions about...
Hashtag unfiltered. And then, guess what? Nothing of value.
No, and, like, there was no probing. Like, it's, like, you know, I...
That's also a state of the current Cavs coverage and who the Cavs...
We're moving on. No bad vibes.
Moving on. So, let me get his official title. He is the managing editor of the Browns Wire, Jared Mueller. He floated this to me the other day. If the, let's just do an absolute garbo trade. Like, Philly is obviously giving off the prettiest bag of garbage here. Like, it's a gold bag of garbage if you want to consider Ben Simmons that. But the Cavs get Ben Simmons, the Sixers get John Wall, and the Rockets get Kevin Love. And I said, why would Houston do that? Houston could just go get Ben Simmons. And Ben Simmons would be a pretty dang good fit in Houston, in my opinion. Like, him, KPJ, Jalen Green, Christian Wood, that's a pretty good place to build off of. Like, am I outlandish in saying that? Plus, like, I don't... But at the same time, I also don't know if Philly does this because I don't like John Wall's theoretical fit.
Philly's not
Philly.
Like, yeah, that's, you need a, you good need a with third Doc, team. But like, John Wall is not... It is. Joel Embiid is 28 years old. And, like, part of the reason the Cavs are, like, in a tricky position with, like, a Simmons trade, if that's something they wanted to do, is just, like... They don't have, I don't think, like, the best offer they can make is the kind of package that is, like, making feel good. I was just listening to, when I was out driving this evening, I was listening to the Nerder pod from The Athletic. So Dave DeFore, Mo DeKeel, Seth Partnow. For my money, I think my favorite, like, general NBA pod, I think that pod is always my favorite. NBA pod.
We talk general NBA.
No, Evan, you got to stop taking these things as slights all the time.
Listen, after we supplanted the Chase Down podcast many moons ago,
independent contractors
podcast.
The Chase
Down? Yeah, like, I need somebody to scrap with, so you become my target. First, it was Justin Rowan to bring us back, and then. Literally, I just took Justin's playbook and then used it against him, or I would just troll him back.
Anyway,
using the podcast account,
like,
by saying,
Seth
anyways.
Was talking about how, like, I think one of the things that keeps happening with Ben Simmons is, like, teams are forgetting that, like the way we're talking on him is, like, the stuff he isn't doing, and it's, like, there's a ton of stuff he does really, really well, and if Philly's going to move him, like let's just say they did the McCollum Simmons thing, like, as a swap. Like, there's a massive defensive step they're losing where it's like, I don't know, like they're, it's such a complicated trade for Philly in if they're dealing him. And I don't think the Cavs can offer them anything that is, like, really what they need.
We shouldn't.
You know?
Yeah. Well, we shouldn't really crystallize not just the Ben Simmons loss, but we should talk about how Philly really mismanaged so many of their assets.
People go to lock
this point. Yeah. Like, Robert Covington. Markel Fultz.
Okay, but that's like a lock on Sixers. Shots to Keith Pompey. That's a whole other thing.
But like that's just my thing. Like, the Sixers back themselves into this corner, and yeah, there's just, they built around Simmons and Embiid when it was clear that this fit didn't work.
So,
and I seemed like an idiot for saying this a year ago.
Yeah,
but Yeah, his value is pretty low, but I still think the McCollum swap is the one that makes most sense for both parties involved. But I don't think it keeps Dame in Portland, but that's just where I'm at. But I mean, it's a good building block to go forward with, and Robert Covington can play with his friend Ben Simmons again.
So I want to ask you this. Aside, I just want to end our second segment of the first part on this. If there was a, and then I'll ask you another hypothetical. I'm going to steal from Nerder to lead off segment three. But is there another player you are most excited to see at Media Day?
Oh gosh, that is. I think I said Ricky Rubio the other day. For those listening, I requested to the Cavs if I'm getting my credentials approved to speak with Ricky for a story, but we'll see how that goes. Yeah, that's a really good question, because I don't know. We've seen a lot of these guys, because Isaac and Evan played in Summer League. Like, I guess maybe Colin and Darius, maybe to get an idea of, like, what work Darius has put in this offseason. Like, physically look at him, I guess.
Isaac.
What about you?
Because that's just who I am. That's just who I am. You know what I mean? Like, I am...
I mean, yeah, I'm doing a deep dive on him, because somebody asked me, like, what kind of leap do we need from him, and what kind of players could we kind of draw comparisons from? And I'm stealing something from J. Kyle Mann, where I, like, don't have a direct comparison, but there's like a cloud of players you can compare him to, and like Gerald Wallace, Justice Winslow, Jimmy Butler, and Andre Iguodala, the last like Butler and Iguodala being like his 99th percentile hit. I'm like, yeah, maybe we could see something like this, but subscribe to Write Down the Euclid if you want to read it. I'm not going to spill everything, but
but Evan, you know this, like I don't think there's a Cavs player I have more fun watching possession to possession than Isaac
defense
Okoro.
Is neat because the Cavs haven't played a lick of it in forever, so it's kind of fun to watch.
Well, I have specific tastes of like what I like watching, and like way I would, like, it's just one of those things when you start like brainstorming like team building, I just find what he does to just be like,
do you think he's a
really, really,
do you think he's a two guard or a three?
I think he's a basketball player, friend. He's a hooper.
Yeah, damn right, JJ. But Chris, let's put a pin in his convo. I'm not gonna segue as well on this one. For those listening again, the guy who invented Segway drove a Segway off a cliff, so why don't you give us a quick word from our sponsors, and then I'll give you another quick word from our sponsors.
So look, gotta tell everyone, we had people in the chat asking about this. Of course we're sponsored by Built Bar. This would not be a Locked On Cavs podcast if Built Bar was not.
People ask me about the podcast. I'm like, I talk about the Cavs, but I'm more of a protein bar salesman at this point.
Look, coconut, cherry barcia, mint brownie, strawberry. There's a ton of great flavors. The strawberry one tastes like a chocolate-covered strawberry. Like, go get that one. That's probably my favorite right now. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you get two of each of the nine flavors. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. They're all tasty and all healthy. Order today. Get that raspberry, that cherry barcia, or that strawberry, or whatever you like. And remember, Built Bar is the official protein bar of the United States track and field team. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
They're also the official protein bar of Chris Manning's voice crack of saying whatever you like. But,
look,
yeah,
you know. It is. What it is.
We can bet on a couple audio mishaps on Locked On Cavs. There's just another boner right there. But today's episode is also sponsored by Bet Online. We're back and better than ever. All eyes on the gridiron as teams are back on the field to start another football season. As always, Bet Online is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive a 100%, that's right, 100%, one scundo welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Do not forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, do not wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, and it's also the exclusive betting partner of the Locked On Podcast Network. Also, do not forget to use promo code Locked On. New copy, and I goofed this one up. Heyo.
Anyway, Evan, if I were to... Here's a hypothetical I just want to throw at you.
Lay it on me.
If there were an era of recent Cavs, like, history basketball, do you want to go back and just kind of be able to reprocess, you know, for the first time, have the time in detail, like, whatever it is. Like, if there was just an era... I guess, or a specific season that you would want to go back. Let's do season, because that kind of makes it a little bit harder. If you're going to pick a season to go back and kind of revisit, is there one that you would kind of want to harp on? Give me a Cavs answer and then a general NBA answer.
What season was it that Michael Jordan hit the shot over the Craig Elo?
That would have been,
according to Terry Pluto, the best years of Cavs basketball.
It's like, that's like, so you're saying like that Mark Price Larry, yeah. that era specifically.
Because I firmly remain, and I'm beating my chest with enthusiasm here, that if you took Mark Price and dropped him in today's NBA, people would be hyping him up as much as they would Steph Curry, because his stats are insane. When you look at him for like a 90s style player, like, he did not fit the mold of a 90s basketball player. He would thrive in the modern NBA with the spacing and the way defense is played nowadays. General wise, like, to relive a moment or even just be a part of it.
I have a calf season and a general NBA like era that I and season that I would want to go
I'd to. Like to be a fly on the wall for Malice in the Palace, but or the first season of that Heatles team. Like, I was so invested in that basketball team emotionally, because LeBron just left, both on and off the floor, because that was must-see TV, that Miami Heat basketball. And that kind of, like, that team was really responsible in making, like, basketball, like, a putting it in the forefront of people's minds, because LeBron James played for them. But that's just, I don't know. Those are my two picks. What about you?
Cavs season that would have been the 12-13 season. That's the Bynum year.
Oh.
That's like,
ooh, excellent pick. I like that one.
So it's like, it's a year where I like was covering the team and following the team, but it's not at a point where like I think I knew as much, or like I think like I was as detailed and organized as I am, as I am sometimes now.
Were you at Fear the Sword yet?
And taking notes.
Or was this back when it was actually write down Euclid?
It was that, and I was like a very anxious like freshman at Ohio University.
You anxious?
So
never.
Never. So that's the Cavs, just because I think it'd be interesting to go back and like revisit it and like kind of get a assessing of some of like of covering kind of like a goofy team. The season, if I could like really just like understand it in any more detail, I should also say I think LeBron's senior year of high school also would have been like really cool to go back to and just like kind of take in a different way and just kind of process, because I was so young. I was like 10 years old, you know. It's like not like I fully grasped like I think the magnitude of having someone that special like nearby. Mm-hmm. When I was that age, and my dad's not like my dad, who like is my prism into sports stuff a lot of the ways, is like, you know, not was not like a huge necessarily basketball guy. But the other one I would want to do is the year the Thunder with KD, Russ, and Harden made the finals.
Ooh, that's a good pick too. That's
because
my biggest
I
what
think
if
that team
is if the Thunder didn't cheap out on James Harden.
But first, Pearl Jam.
Shout out Secret Base. They did a really good video on the Thunder's collapse.
I'm making a joke.
Know. We gotta support. We gotta
I just
support
would like
our
to
homies,
like,
though. That's all.
Solid Seth. I would just like to. Specifically, I just like the Thunder stuff. I just find like fascinating, and like that level, it's like nuts that like that went how it was, right? Like, I just think that would have been crazy. I also just like would like to go back to a world where like Like, we would just get, like, videos of, like, LeBron, like, eating, like, Wendy's with, like, Dwight Howard and Chris Paul, like, in a rest stop somewhere.
Team USA.
Like,
that I think video that was a trip, man. I was just like, I forgot about this. And I'm like, this is so weird.
I just, like,
imagine being that rest stop worker and you're just chilling and, like, these grown-ass men. Like, Dwight Howard's a Goliath of a human, so is LeBron. But they're like, yeah, I'll take, like, a number 5, a number 6, and a number, like, 12.
I just, like, miss, like, eras where, like, things felt a little more, like, normal. And, like, maybe that is, like, being nostalgic or something that didn't exist, you know what I mean? But, like, I think there's just something sort of more, like, normal. Like, I don't know. I think there's just, like, something now where, like, I think a lot of the time that, like, the realities of, like, of what being like an NBA player seems to end up being a lot of the time is like just very it just has changed, I think, so much, you know what I mean? Like, it really has, like, it's I don't really know how exactly to describe it. There's just something feels very different in a way I can't exactly like put my finger on.
It's part of growing up, and I think it's also because everything is a lot more, ignorance is bliss is a good way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, you've talked about this before.
And we're painfully
online. Well, but it's like, I remember, like, when we first started becoming friends, and I was like, you're just gonna get, like, frustrated by a lot of this. Like, it will change the way you think about some of this. And I think, like, sometimes I've let that go too far. But, like, I tend to think that, Daniel says more professional. I think it's, like, buttoned up is a good way of putting it. Like, everyone is, it's just, like, it's, like, I think, like, tend to be, like, if you're more authentic and less, like, buttoned up and, like, presenting a certain, like, vibe, I think it's actually better if you're just kind of, I just want to leave it at that. But, I think we should end part one.
Take a quick break real quick and come right back.
We're going to take a break. We're not going anywhere if you're watching live. We're just going to throw up a little overlay.
It's for posterity. And
we'll be back here.
But real quick, you mentioned that Thunder team. Mm-hmm. I would love to watch the apex of that grit and grind Grizzlies team again. That team really made me fall in love with basketball because they were so fun to watch. Or that Spurs team, the revenge Spurs team that came back and absolutely beat the shit out of the Heat after LeBron looked at Kawhi and shook his head because he saw Kawhi Leonard was checking back in.
Yeah. So I very just quick grit and grind story. I was in I'd taken a weekend trip with my I was in co- I would have been in college then. A summer weekend trip with my dad and my uncle to Pittsburgh, and we went to just like a random like Pirates game, hung out in the city for a couple of days. We were in this was like NBA, the Grizzlies are playing like the Warriors in the playoffs, and I couldn't exactly tell you what year this is. I have to go figure this out, but
I'm trying to think myself because I became like a closet Grizzlies fan after like that series against the Clippers was brutal. I loved it.
Yeah. But we were like in a bar in Pittsburgh eating dinner after like going to the game, and like me asking like the waiter to turn the one small TV on.
In Pittsburgh, that is
so I could watch quest. In Pittsburgh when there's like, and they were just like, you want to watch what? Yeah,
it's like, not a bad. I like I remember when the Pistons floated about moving to Pittsburgh for a second. I'm just like, it's not a basketball town. It will literally die there. Like, go look up the ABA history in Pittsburgh. The franchise has barely lasted there. Rest in peace to the Pipers and the Condors.
Well, and salute to Mac Miller. Faces coming out on vinyl. Yeah, very exciting. Very
exciting. All right, we'll be right back, fellas and gals and everybody else.
Just all humans. Shoot.